Let us now turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 8, and we will go through the entire chapter in this study. We will not be able to complete all of the trumpets, but we will go through the first four. We want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. God, we just come and grateful, Lord, for your word. We are grateful, Almighty God, for you keeping this for us, for the very day that we are living in. And not only that, but God, you are revealing these things to us, opening up your word at this very moment in time that we are living in, the generation that we are, God, that we may see these things and not be caught unawares, that we have an answer for those who do not believe, who come to us, who ask. But you have given us an answer. And God, we do not despair, because this book of all books gives us great hope that you are faithful and true to complete all that you have begun. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing that you give us for those who will read your word, Lord, and read this very book. Thank you, Lord. And I ask that you would come and fill me to overflowing, that the gift of teaching, Lord, may be exercised and to glorify you today. In Jesus' name, amen. We are about to witness the opening of the seventh seal. But before we dive into chapter 8, let's refresh ourselves for just a moment. The book of Revelation, this book is revealing God's judgment and his wrath on the unbelieving world. It is also opened heaven and the throne of heaven to us, that we may see the throne room and all the activity of heaven. We see a glimpse of what is going on. John has recorded these things for us. The curtain opened gives us a glimpse of the angels and their purpose. And we want to remember that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ given by God that he might show his servants. We are the servants of God. God called John up on that Lord's day that he may show him these things, that John may write these things. He told John, he said, write these things down. And these things were written down. And they have been read by the church, but we, I believe, are the generation that we are seeing these things, that these birth pangs are beginning to happen. And so here he reveals those who will be carrying out his purposes. We see the revelation of Jesus. We see him high and lifted up. We see him on the throne. We see him receiving the worship. We see all of those who are being saved because of what he has done, his sacrifice. We see that he is the only one who was able to take the scroll from God the Father's hand and to begin to open it, and that these things may be executed. John is up in heaven on the Lord's day in the Spirit. We see that Jesus speaks to John. Angels speak with John. The elders speak to John. And the revelation is by sign or symbol. So that we see that there are a lot of signs and symbols, pictorial symbols, lampstands, seals, trumpets, bowls, and beasts, symbolic numbers. Seven is used 54 times. And we remember that seven is the number of completion. It represents the entire or complete. Remember, he only addressed seven churches, but we knew that there were more than seven churches at the writing of this. And so seven is the complete. And so these letters, this was to be circulated, and it was to address every church. And it is to address every church in every church age and every Christian who would be able to read these words. The recurring pattern in Revelation is the final judgment, life on earth, final judgment, life on earth, final judgment, life on earth. We see that the Lord is showing John as he's caught up into the throne room. He reveals things in the throne room. And then he has him look down to earth, and he reveals the things that he is about to accomplish on earth. Revelation reveals to us the absolute sovereignty of God over everything. Have no doubt. Do not doubt in these days that he is on the throne. Nothing happens without his word. Jesus is executing God's purposes and plans and the absolute defeat of evil and evildoers. The promise of a new heaven and earth. All of these things are here and for us. All we are studying in Revelation is future. Not as distant as when revealed to the Apostle John. I want to say that if you are a student of the Word and you've studied writers who've come before us, and there are even those today who declare, who teaches authority, teaches truth, that all of these things have already happened. That's not true. That's not true. If you are even just a history student, you will see that these things have not happened. The only global thing that has happened was the wrath of God poured out in the days of Noah, when the entire world was covered in water, when God sent the rains, brought up the rains, sent the rains, and all of the living beings on earth were destroyed. And so these events here are global events, worldwide judgments. Remember that there have been floods in different areas of this world. There have been fires, there have been famines, there have been pestilences, and there have been insects coming by the multitude, animals dying, but not to affect repercussions onto the entire world. Remember, that is the difference, and these people who teach that are just not teaching the truth. Don't listen. Don't waste what brain cells you have listening to someone like that. Do not do it. What we see right here in the book of Revelation is that God is now dealing with mankind as a whole, global in scope, and he deals with Satan bringing upon him his final end. As we go through this book, keep this in mind for your own personal study. I want you to go back and I want you to read in Exodus how God dealt with Pharaoh and Egypt. Egypt was a country. Pharaoh was the ruler. And that was a single country, a single ruler, a single people. I want you to see how he dealt with that. And it is a picture of what we see here. But now I want you to understand that it's all the pharaohs, it's all the oppressors, it's all those who oppose God, who say, who is this God that you're telling me about, as Pharaoh spoke to Moses? Those who oppose God, who oppose his word, and oppose his son. This is a global reckoning, not local any longer. As we go through this, I want you to see it. I do want you to remember that we said that these things have happened. We've seen these things happen through the ages, but they have not happened everywhere. It has not affected every nation, but this is going to affect all the peoples of the earth. Now, you know, no one can explain these judgments away other than the hand of God. If you remember back in chapter 6, you know, they cried out and they said, I'm sorry, they cried out and they were like, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They recognize what it is. And so you're going to have those always who are going to try to explain it away. But they will know that this is the hand of God. You know, and you have those who teach the book of Revelation and they are trying to use nuclear warheads as how it will be done, or they're trying to explain it away in a natural way. I'm not saying the things that God will send will not affect those things and cause like a domino effect. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you that, listen, if it is nuclear, then is it not man's creation that is doing it? I am of the belief that this is the hand of God by His spoken word and using His angels, His messengers, to carry out what He has called for. And if He sends fire and a nuclear plant is there, it certainly is going to hit that nuclear plant. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be man doing this. These events will happen by God at His spoken word. When God, listen, all of these things are recorded on the scroll. Remember that. They were recorded before. And it has been sealed up until the time. And Jesus now is opening the seals. And all of these things are beginning to happen. And we're going to see today that the final seal, the seventh seal, is opened. And so the entire scroll is unfurled. They will be supernatural events. God does not need man to build nuclear bombs to bring about His wrath. Nuclear is what man can do. God's wrath is beyond all. Beyond all. It's beyond that. Listen, I want you to stop and think for a moment about all the apocalyptic movies that you see. This is preparation. The enemy of our soul works. He's so strategic in his planning. And he's working with Hollywood. They are putting out all these movies about aliens, of course. And then they're putting out all these movies, these apocalyptic movies, about the destruction of the earth. And they're sending forth meteors to hit the earth, and nuclear that's going to hit the earth, and global warming that's going to touch the earth. All their plots of the earth being devastated, destroyed, that it's some mad scientist or it's something that they invented by their own hands. Or they brought about this destruction because of using a car driven by gas. That it's a hurling meteor that's coming and spinning out of control. It's going to destroy the earth and mankind. But wait, 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 wait. They always have a savior. It's a man with his technology. Saves the day. But of course now the movies have teenagers or children who are saving the day. Who are so tech savvy. And no adult is smart enough to take care of that. So it's just amazing how man writes these scenarios. I do not want you to be deceived. It is Jesus who is worthy to open the seals and execute the judgments recorded on the scroll. Seal by seal, then trumpet by trumpet, and bowl by bowl. Jesus is the only Savior of mankind, and today is the day of salvation. Don't wait, for this entire book will be fulfilled. And if you have not given your life to the Lord, you can't say, oh, I'm just going to wait till these things begin to happen, and then I'll do it. We see that there are going to be those saved during these judgments, but they're going to lose their life because they will have to make a choice right then and there. It's not like some people through the ages who have lived an entire Christian life and never been faced with any type of choice. Either you serve God or you serve me, and if you don't serve me, I'm going to take your head off. Just think of the countless thousands who've not had to face that choice. But those during this time will face that choice. And I'm just telling you, today is the day of your salvation. If you do not know the Lord, you need to do it now. You need to make things right with God now. Humble yourself before His throne, for He is God, and His word is true, and you can stand on it. In chapter 8 and verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. So here we see, before this, there has been so much happening. But, and remember, I told you that time is a creation of God for mankind. God doesn't have to measure time because He is always present. But for somehow John was able to record that it was about half an hour. And what we've seen thus far is active worship. There's been music, songs, there's declaration, there's bowing, angels coming and going. Nothing happens in all of creation that heaven is not aware of. But at this moment, at the opening of the seventh seal, silence. Silence in eternity. I can't even fathom that. For heaven is eternity. And so John says for about a half an hour, there is silence. All who are in heaven at that moment, at that very time, they are awestruck as the seventh seal is opened and all is revealed. The first six seals revealed one seal event at a time, but now all can be revealed. That is what I believe, and that is what I'm teaching you. And you can do your own study to agree or to disagree. Not one mouth is able to open, much less make a sound. No angels are flying, or is there any type of flurry before the throne. Stillness. Quiet. Jaw-dropping silence. This is the first record of silence. The seals were bad, but now it's going to get worse, like nothing ever seen before. That's what he tells us. Silence. Then supplication. Sounding and a storm. The heir to creation is opening the seventh seal. There is a calm before the storm. Heaven stands in utter stillness. I want you to understand that eternity is silent. Now the hour has finally come and the saints are vindicated. In Revelation 8, verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense and the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So we see, following this silence, we're able to look. John is revealing in heaven the silence in heaven. And he is revealing that there are seven angels who stand before God. These particular angels apparently have a place before God. To them is given the seven trumpets. Before these will sound, there is another angel that has a golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer before the throne of God with the prayers of the saints. We see that these trumpets are in direct answer to the prayers of God's people. Those who have cried out, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord?" Those under the altar in seal number 5 who were told to wait until their number is fulfilled. Folks, we need to understand that prayers do not go unanswered. God listens to the cries of His redeemed. There are those who are shut up in prison. There are those who are beaten every day. There are those who are starved. There are those that they have to watch their family slaughtered because they have taken a stand for the Lord, and they're crying out to God. "Oh God, can you not see? Do you not understand? Lord, when will you stretch out your hand against all of these?" All of these cries, all of these prayers have been gathering and gathering and gathering and gathering. And He told them they were crying out under the altar at the 5th seal. And He said, "Now wait. Wait, because the number's not fulfilled yet." And then we saw that in the 144,000, when they are preaching and the multitudes come in, that they are dying, they are being persecuted because they had to make a choice at a time, not like the time that I made a choice. And so all of those cries, all of those prayers, and through generations they're thinking, "God, you've not answered these prayers. God, you've not answered these prayers." But now this angel, another angel came. He had the golden censer. The saints are the redeemed, meaning set apart. And once we are born again, we are set apart, consecrated to our God. As the incense in this censer ascended before the throne, then the angel fills the incense with fire from the altar. This incense are the prayers. These are the prayers of the saints through the ages. And he brings it before the throne of God. God, at the opening of this seal, it is time. It is time, because then that angel takes the fire and he throws it to the earth. The incense before the Lord came from the golden altar, which was in the holy place. I want you to go back. I want you on your own time to go back and read Exodus 30, verses 1 through 10. Exodus 30, 1 through 10. I want you to see, I want you to understand that there was the golden altar. That was where the incense was put. That was the prayers before the veil. And then I want you to remember that there was an altar before that. It's where the sacrifice was made, where the animal was burned and its blood would drip down. And so the incense before the Lord came from the golden altar, which is in the holy place before the veil, to the Holy of Holies. And then the censer filled with fire is in direct answer to the prayers of the saints is thrown to the earth. They said, "How long?" And now God says, "Now, now is the time. Now I'm answering this prayer. You fill this with fire and you throw it down to the earth." What happens when he throws that censer to the earth? There is going to be a global sounding noise. Thunderings that are going to be heard worldwide. Lightning that's going to be seen worldwide. And an earthquake globally. And the seven angels, they're prepared. They have prepared themselves to begin to sound those trumpets. Now, they are very much self-explanatory, but we're just going to go through and I'm going to point out some things to you. In verse 7, it says, "The first angel sounded, and hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up." So at this first trumpet, it says that hail came and fire. And if you remember, that's one of the judgments in Egypt. But it says it was mingled with blood. It doesn't say like. I want you to understand. It says it was mingled with blood. It's not like. It's not a symbol. It says it was mingled for blood. So when it's literal, we take it literal. Do I understand it? I understand that it's the blood of the martyrs, those that they have persecuted, those that they have taken their lives. That's what I believe it is. And God is able. So if you think that God can't do that, I don't know if there's anything left to say for you. Because what are you going to believe if you don't believe that God can do that? And it's thrown to the earth. When a third of the trees, and it says all green grass is burned up. So I just trying to find something to give us something in our mind to think about. This estimate is from November of 2020, that there were 3 trillion trees on earth. That's an estimate. So a third of this, and this is a guesstimate on my part, is 1 trillion trees are destroyed. Well, trees, they take in carbon dioxide, they produce oxygen. They conserve the water, they preserve the soil, they support wildlife. Now, 1 trillion are gone from the earth. And not a third of the grass, but it says all the green grass burned up. I want you to think, first of all, I want you to think about this, how it's not easy to burn green grass. It's easy to burn in a desert where it's dry and it's turned brown, but it's not easy to burn green grass. But to give us a picture, think of the news reports you've seen with those horrendous forest fires, the fires that have been going on, especially like in California, and like last year, they were absolutely mind-boggling. But just begin to think about that and what comes with fires where trees are burning and grass is burning. You have smoke, you have flames, and you have heat. 40% of the earth is covered in grass. Is now gone. It's now gone. I don't know these statistics for myself. I had to look them up. So you can look them up, and different people may have different numbers. But I'm telling you, on the site that I looked at, it was 3.04 trillion trees on Earth. A third of those are gone. And it says 40% of the Earth is covered in grass. And so all the green grass is gone. It's no longer. We've got the air is filled with smoke and the fire. It's beyond, I can't comprehend it. So maybe you're smarter than I am, or maybe you've been in a forest fire. You have more understanding, but it is beyond me. The only thing I can tell you is what I've seen on the news and how I look at it, and I'm just overwhelmed at it. And then comes the second trumpet. Now, how do you picture these angels standing there at the throne of God, ready to sound? Is that how it's happening? That they're just lined up before God, and now trumpet one, trumpet two. And it says here in verse 8, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain, and something like, now, folks, listen, burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Oh, my goodness. In verse 8, it tells us. Now, in verse 7, it wasn't like. It's what it actually was. It was hail and fire mingled with blood. But here it says it's something like a great mountain. John doesn't know what it is, and he's just trying to give you a picture of what it is to describe what was about to happen and what was about to be thrown into the sea. We know a third of the sea, the living creatures in the sea, and the ships, a third of each one of those are destroyed. And the sea became blood. Don't you imagine with all of those sea creatures dying in there? that's the blood that's coming up. And so I did look up a statistic for you, and you can do your own research. But 70%, the earth is covered 70% by sea life, by seas. And when I looked up sea creatures, I was trying to find something so that what I read was there are 228,450 known species in the ocean, and as many as 2 million that are unknown. Now, that I'm just telling you, that's the number of the species. It doesn't tell us how many it is. So I the number is beyond anything that I have to give to you. I looked up the number of ships in the ocean, and what I found was there were 93,161 ships. That includes cruise ships, merchant ships, military ships. And so a third of those are destroyed. So my calculation is 31,000 ships are destroyed. What a mess. What an absolute mess and chaos is happening on this earth. Listen, we've had the first trumpet. Are they happening consecutively? Like he blows his trumpet and immediately the other one blows his trumpet? I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure how to tell you how it's happening, how much time in between. God doesn't tell me that. I don't see how quickly it's happening. I don't imagine that it's prolonged. Go back and study Exodus, because that's the first mention of it. And I think it just kind of helps us with that. Okay? I'm not trying to just leave you in the dark on that. But I do think that I'm not here to set dates or timings or things like that. But I'm telling you what I'm getting out of this, what I'm gleaning out of this with my study. And so you take what I'm giving you, and then you go back and study and let God add to and reveal to you. So we see that a third of the trees, a third of the sea, a third of the ships, a third of the living sea creatures, and all the grass are destroyed at this time, at only the second sounding of the trumpet. That does not include everything that has happened with the seals being opened. Now we're to the third trumpet. We got to remember that these things are increasing. They are increasing, and still man rebels. Still man will not call on the name of the Lord. So the third trumpet, verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Now, it says a great star fell. Its name was Wormwood, and wormwood means bitterness or poisonous, and it fell from heaven. It was burning like a torch. John didn't know how to describe it. When he says like, he's trying to tell you what it was like when he saw it in his way of describing it. A third of the rivers. And so what I looked up, it says, I'm only going to tell you about the United States, not about the world. One figure I found is that there are 165 major rivers in the world. And then you have all of these little tributaries and streams and things that go out from it. But the United States has more than 250,000 rivers, equaling 3.5 million miles of rivers. You could circle the earth 140 times and still not have that many miles under your belt. It's mind-boggling. The rivers and all, and the spring waters, that's the fresh water on earth. We've already seen the salt water. Now God's touching the fresh water. And so the water that you consume, it's not, this is not just a matter of the water simply being bitter to the taste. This water will literally be poisonous. A third of the drinking water is gone. You know, humans can only survive for a few days without water unless God calls you to a fast. And that's a supernatural thing. What will happen when a third of the water, the drinking water, is gone? There's going to be chaos like we have never, ever seen. Fighting, killing, and desperation. Desperation. Desperate people do terrible things. Folks, I want us to realize that these three trumpets, a third of the earth is destroyed. Partial judgment from God. His full wrath is yet to be unleashed. We've already had the six seals. Go back and read them. See how it's beginning to just increase. None of these things, listen, this has not happened before. Anyone who teaches that these things in the book of Revelation have happened, have already happened, it is beyond words for me, the deception that they are under and that they are perpetrating upon the body of Christ. Do not fall for that. But I want you to see in this that mercy is hand in hand with his wrath. We have a gracious and good God that we serve, that we have given our life over to. Why would you not want to give your life to a God who is so good and gracious? The first three trumpets touching the earth, and the fourth will touch the heavenly bodies. The fourth trumpet, let's read this. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the star, so that a third of them was darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So we see that the sun, the moon, and the stars, a third of them are struck, and they're darkened. So a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. You didn't have the moon to shine, a third of it, or a third of the stars. You know, if you live out in the country and you don't have these street lights that you have in the city or in towns, it can really, really be dark, especially when the moon is not out. You can see so many stars out there, but just imagine a third of what you're looking at will not be revealed. Take note of this. Nothing tells us this is ever restored. So I know that we're going to get to some things that are going to seem contradictory. Remember, God is a supernatural God. And so don't think with your natural mind when we're looking at these things. Remember who is in charge of this, whose wrath is coming, and by whose hand it is coming. And so you can't try to naturally designate how these things will happen. Okay? But I haven't seen or studied where that this will ever be restored. We have 12 hours of sunlight and 12 hours of the moon and the stars. So it's going to be reduced to 8 hours of sunlight and 8 hours of the moon and the stars. Less sunlight will affect the temperature of plants, and when you're in so much darkness, depression sets in. People commit suicide in states where they have only limited sunlight. And remember, evil works in the dark. I want us to remember, I keep reminding of you that this affects the entire globe. Global events here. It's not that just here in the United States that we're so wicked and it's only going to affect us. That's not how it's going to work. God is dealing with man in the book of Revelation on the entire earth. On the entire earth, he is dealing with man. We see examples of this all through the Old Testament where God had his people, and it was Israel, and he dealt with Israel over and over and over and over again. Now, God is dealing with unbelieving man. The entire globe who has rejected him, That is who he's dealing with. And so it's global. He's not just saying, oh, I'm so upset with the United States of America because there was so much that was given to them, and look what they've done with what I've given to them. He is dealing with every unbelieving, every God-rejecting man, woman, child, elderly person, anyone on the face of the earth. In verse 13, and I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So we've heard four trumpets. And now we look up. John is looking and he sees in the heavenlies, not at the throne of God, but in the heavenlies that man can hear. There is an angel that is coming. It's flying. It has wings. Does it have two, four, or six? I don't know. But it has a message for the earth and all those who remain on the earth. And that message is woe, 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 because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Woe in the Greek is signifying impending doom, condemnation, and or the wrath of God. Woe spoken three times. Use of a word three times in the Bible is rare. And it is only done when the holiness of God is described. So what we are seeing here is that our holy God is judging. And he is absolute. Listen, God's judgment is holy. It is complete. And it is perfect. He cannot do anything that is imperfect. He only performs that which is perfect. Possibly you have not considered this book of Revelation, revealing Jesus Christ in his holy divine right to open up the seals, sending forth the judgments to follow as being perfect, and at the last bowl being emptied, bringing to completion the wrath that has been stored up for unrepentant man, for the proud man who chose their own way, for the deniers of God, his word, his son, those who believe they charted their own destinies, those who have taken God's word, as Satan did in the garden, and twisted it to have followers for themselves, leading multitudes to their destructions. These are perilous times. I'm not trying to frighten you. I want you to understand these are the things that are going to come upon unbelieving man. These are perilous times that we are living in. Serious times, not times to be cracking jokes. But we are privileged to be living in this generation. Because until now, there has not been a generation that has been able to declare what we are declaring today. We are truly not living in the last days, but living in the last moments. Living in the very last moments. Jesus said in Luke 21:28, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. God's wrath is not for us. It is for those who reject him. When a door is opened, these very times that we are living in, for such a time as this, we are called for such a time as this. In your life, no matter if they close the countries down where you cannot travel, you have a phone in your hand. You have email available to you. Tweet, you can tweet. You can call. You can communicate. And if there is someone that you know who does not know the Lord, Now is the time that you should listen. Don't worry if they're going to be offended with you. I would rather them be offended with me and me have the opportunity to give them the gospel and give them the chance to accept or reject. Not because I was so afraid of how they would perceive me. If they would perceive me as a conspiracy person. If they would conceive of me as being a nut job. Oh, being such a religious fanatic. I am not a religious fanatic. I am a Jesus follower. That is why I am called a Christian. Because I am a Christ follower. I have the blood of Jesus applied to me. I'm not going to take the mark. I'm not going to bow down. I would not look forward to having my head chopped off. But it will be for only a moment. Only a moment. Now is the time. Now is the time. You take every opportunity that God gives you. If he is compelling you, open your mouth and speak for him. That those that he puts in your path will be saved from the wrath of God. Listen, it is only your responsibility to give the gospel. Only the Holy Spirit can save them. He will take that word and pierce their heart. They can either accept it or reject it. I want you to understand that this word, this very word that we're reading, is coming. Sooner than at the writing of this book over 2,000 years ago. When John wrote this book, when the Christians read it, when they saw the things that Rome was doing, for over 200 years with all of that persecution, all of the things that were happening, surely they thought, this is it. This is it. But it was not. Rome did not rule the whole world. All of those things did not come. That was man perpetrating his wrath against man. This is God's wrath. Hear me if you hear nothing else. This is God's wrath. It is stored up and it is going to be absolutely executed and poured out until it is all gone. I don't want you to hold your head down and be in despair at what's coming upon the earth. But rejoice that you belong to him. That he is preparing a place for you. He is returning for his people. He has no confusion as to who are his and who belong to Satan. God's not going to get mixed up and say, oh, I didn't realize that you belonged to me. That's why the blood is applied to us. That's why we have his robe of righteousness. There is nothing, listen, there's nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. Jesus did it for you. All you have to do is confess your sins. You come to him. Bow, get on your knees right now where you are. And you tell him, yes, God, I agree with you. I am a sinner. I have been your enemy. But now, God, I am asking you to forgive me for my sins. That I may now become a child of God. That I may now be counted worthy of you. Oh, God, come and save me. I need saving. He is faithful. He is so faithful and just. He does not just love me. He did not just love the Apostle Paul. He did not just love Abraham. All who will come, he is willing. He is willing. This book of Revelation is a blessing to his church. We are not in the dark, people. But we have been given light. We have been given light. And this is light for us. Our generation, it is necessary that we know this. that we can see the signs and we can read the times, and that we have a word, we have an answer upon our lips, that we, when the hopeless come, can show them where to find hope. That is what you need to take away from every study. Every study that we will do in this, as we follow and we continue on in this book. We have been given light. Amen and amen.